Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All righty, it is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Yep, smoke finally caught up to me today. I kind of knew it would, so don't worry. I'm sure everything will be back to normal, you know, relatively normal tomorrow. We are looking back at the career of Tom Joles. I want your Tom Joles story. I'll hold off on mine, get some calls on 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Loves, let's go to Carol in Cheektowaga. Carol, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi. One of the things that I have to say about Tom Joles is that my son, who's 53 years old, learned not to play with matches because he told the kids how not to do things the wrong way. So
what exactly did Tom Joles do with matches? I'm a little confused.
Well, what he did is he had a little segment about how matches burn you and start fires and house fires, and you really don't want to do that. And you want to, if you find a match, you give it to your mom or dad. And he found matches on the sidewalk, and he brought them home, and he gave them to me. And about that time, I was ready to kill Tom Joles because I had all these cruddy matches. But he was good. He talked to the kids. He taught the kids in the way that they wanted to listen, and they learned.
You know, Carol, that is such an excellent point because you're a little bit older than I am. If your son is 53 years old, but you have just...
I'm 78.
Yeah, 78? Okay. You've brought up something that I think might get lost in the sauce, and that is Tom Joles as an adult with the uncanny ability to talk to children and then later on to talk to adults when he was doing The Weather Outside.
Right.
And not everybody has that ability.
No. And at that time, Channel 7 News was the one I always listened to anyways, because I enjoyed all three of them.
You know, didn't we all? Their ratings absolutely reflected that big time. Thank you very much, Carol. Anybody else have a Tom Joles taught me not to play with matches story? Getting some good stuff here. Tom Joles memories, maybe off air, maybe stuff you remember he did on air. Salubrious. Everybody talks about salubrious. And, you know, when one broadcaster makes a word popular, it becomes synonymous with that broadcaster. When Tom Puckett was doing the news last night and he said, "Heaven is a little more salubrious tonight," he didn't even have to say that Tom Joles had died. That's pretty amazing as a legacy. Don't know what's going to be on Tom Joles' tombstone, but somehow I hope they can work in salubrious. I don't know Mr. Joles' attitude on death and memorials and stuff like that, but salubrious would be so fitting as just a single quote. And that's, again, folks, it's not said out of disrespect. Understand. Tom Joles knew who I was. He was a guest on my show a few times, I think, back in the 1980s. He loved it when I did the Tom Joles impression. He enjoyed it very much. So there's nothing that I'm going to do or say today that should ever be taken as you're disrespecting the man's memory. Far from it. I love Tom Joel. I always love Tom Joel's. I got some people calling in here, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Roger in Hamburg. Roger, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be with you.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Yes, in 1966, I came out of the Army, out of Kansas, and as I was going to find a job, somebody bumped into me and said, do you want a job? Sure, why not? WKBW, as a mail clerk, that's how I started. Then eventually I wound up in the studio and working cameras and doing floor. And worked with Commander Tom every day when he did the Commander Tom show. And his sidekick was a Bad Head. Anybody remember him?
No, I remember Dust Mop. Oh, come here, Dust Mop. I don't know. I remember Dust Mop, but not, what was the other one?
Badhead. Badhead was a director at WKBW. He doubled as Commander Tom's sidekick, Badhead. He wore a costume with a cape and a headgear that had floppy wings on it.
So much is funny about this call, because if you remember the word headgear in the 1960s, totally different meaning than what you're talking about right now. Wow. Very interesting. So, hey, what happened to Martin Biniash? What, you got the patience of a flea? Come on, Biniash, I was going to get you on the air next. You hang up on me, you evil man? Sorry, got to chastise people. So what was it like behind the scenes during the glory days of Channel 7?
Commander Tom, first thing that I saw him as was the Commander Tom with the show, Commander Tom Show, but also he did the weather outside. Now, he was a late, afternoon and evening personality on WKBW. Weather outside was also had its own episodes. I remember one time we were set up on Main Street outside the front doors, and the camera was towards near the street. His back was towards the doors, and somebody walked right through the set. I mean, it's like, he had 1,000-watt bulbs on, you know, and somebody walked right through.
At least they didn't streak.
Yeah, he just kept going. Just some guy didn't know what he was doing, I guess.
Do you remember that when Channel 7 was on Main Street in Buffalo, periodically Tom would be doing the weather outside, and you'd hear the sirens going by?
Yes, all the time. People beeping horns. Then they moved it to the side of the building because it was just too much commotion. They thought, well, all right, we're going to tone this down by taking it on. They had a big overhead door on the side, and they did it out there. It was still good, the weather outside, but not as good as it was when it was on Main Street, right on the sidewalk.
Well, there's something to be said for old school stuff. And some of those guys, you're talking about 1966, the year Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth came out, by the way. The 1960, can you just explain a little bit the chemistry between Irv, Rick, and Tom as somebody who was on the floor working with them?
It was so solid. I mean, these guys were pals. They really were. I mean, it was, the Mighty Three. And I just, every time they came in, it was always a good time. Irv was a jokester, loved to laugh. And Tom was, he'd giggle, but he wouldn't laugh out loud. Irv would bellow.
Yeah. I remember a couple of things about Irv, and we're remembering Tom Joel's, but we're also remembering the whole Channel 7 legacy. You know that somebody has made an impact when all you have to do is use the word salubrious and you think of Tom Joel's. And
absolutely.
Irv Weinstein used to end every newscast with what is called a kicker, a story that is supposed to make you laugh. You might be talking about a train wreck, drought, famine somewhere, but at the end of the newscast, you always want to leave them laughing. And a couple of them that Irv mentioned, I saw a bumper sticker today. It said, "Be alert. The world needs more alerts." And Irv got a big hit, got a big chuckle out of that. And also, actually on the air in the 1970s, said, and I quote pretty accurately here, "Well, we all know the old poem, beans, beans, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot." I'm a kid, and I'm thinking, how is this guy saying this on TV? But he did. He got away with it. I mean, this is before you can actually say the word fart on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, Irv was gold for WKBW.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Joles and Rick Azar. They were great. Great guys.
How long did you have at that gig?
I had 3 months in the summertime. Then I had to leave. But
that's it?
But I worked the studio, and as a matter of fact, my daughter was on when Pete Kalenkiewicz, Bathead, had to leave for another job in another city. They had to get him out of there. So they built this time tunnel where Bathead would go back in time. So at the end of the show, he went back in time. They took my daughter and used her as Bathead coming out. They put the headgear, the wings on my daughter's head. True story.
Wow. Little bit. I wonder if there's any tape extant.
Yeah, Pete was gone, but Tom continued with the show.
Wow. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call, Roger. Appreciate the memories. Yeah, anybody who worked with Tom Joles along the way, absolutely call in. And I was just talking actually before the show today with the guys behind the glass, and I would say over the years I've worked with well over 1,000 different people, and sometimes people will say, yes, I worked with you for 3 months back in the 1980s, and you'll see a blank expression on my face. I'm not good with names and faces to begin with, but one name and face I know very well is that of Martin, I guess I'll do the Polish pronunciation, or at least try to, Biniasz. Biniasz, otherwise known as Biniasz, WBEN alum. You are on WBEN. Give people a little bit of an idea of your background as a local media historian.
You know what? I was bitten by the broadcasting bug early on and spent my lifetime dumpster diving and trying to save Buffalo Broadcasting memorabilia and history, and really documenting the stories. I mean, this is popular culture. This stuff is going to fade away. Not many people talk about Clint Buhlman anymore or George Houndog Lorenz. This is a window in time where we're all collectively focused on these memories. But 20, 30 years from now, who's really going to remember these people? Let's be honest. It's popular culture. So,
allow me to interrupt just very briefly. Sometimes I get very amazed if I use John Otto's name and people don't know of whom I am speaking. And it reminds me of something Doug Young used to work here with us, used to say, in broadcasting, if you want to see the impact you've made, put your foot in a bucket of water, take it out, and look at the water. That's your impact. Always stuck with me.
Well, I mean, hopefully Tom Joel's impact is a lot longer than that. I mean, we live in a unique community. We haven't had an influx of new people, this mass migration of people in our community in 30, 40, 50 years. So the people that are left here, we have sort of a collective nostalgia. You go to places down south, Charleston, or you go to Orlando, and tens of thousands of new people are moving in. Every market had a Commander Tom. Every market had a Space Cadet show, a Rocket Ship 7 show. But when something happens in those markets, nobody really cares about it. In Buffalo, when it happens, because we have this collective nostalgia of everybody who's still here that hasn't left and no new people coming in, we all bond and we all come together with these memories. And there's something very comforting about that.
Indeed. I'm going to ask you a personal question here. Talking with Martin Biniasz, who, among other things, is a historian of the Buffalo broadcasting history. How old are you, sir?
I'm 51.
All right. So you're a youngster. I never thought I would live to be able to say that to anybody, but in fact, I probably shouldn't have lived to be able to say that to anybody. But do you remember the first part of your life where you actually were exposed to Tom Joles? And I ask you that question because as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. No, I'm sorry. That's the beginning of Goodfellas. As far back as I can remember, Tom Joles was on television.
So I know exactly what it is and when it is, and I actually have my first postcard promotional picture of Tom Joles that I received. My family, my mom and dad, were a Channel 2 WGR family. They listened to watch Channel 2 religiously. My grandparents, my maternal grandparents on Coit Street on the east side, were Channel 7 fans. And when I would go, and my parents very rarely would let me watch television before and after school. But when I was with my grandparents, I would watch Channel 7, watch Commander Tom. And I believe my grandparents really loved watching Dialing for Dollars because there was Jimmy and Johnny. They were two Polish guys on the east side that would play the accordion and drums.
Yeah, so I
think they liked that sort of connection to it, to Channel 7. So their house was a Channel 7 household. And I remember my grandmother went to some event and brought back a Commander Tom card. And I remember getting this thinking, oh, my God, this is great. That was my first piece of broadcasting memorabilia that I've hung on to. And I've hung on to it for almost five decades. So that's when I got that major, major bug of watching Rocket Ship 7 in the morning and Commander Tom in the afternoon when I would be at my grandparents' house.
Oh, you must have been jonesing when you were with Mom and Dad because they wouldn't let you watch TV after school.
Well, my grandparents were also the ones that gave me sugary cereals, and my parents wouldn't allow me to eat that either. So,
yeah, I understand that. What Marty? Are you busy doing a job right now or something that I have to worry about taking you away from it?
I do have a job, but you know what? Listen, talking about Tom Joles and talking with the community about this, it makes us all feel good. I mean, when I heard the news yesterday, I felt like I lost a close relative. It really just affected me in a way that a piece of my childhood has finally passed.
You know, it's just so interesting you say that. And the newscast on which I heard it first was here on WBEN with Tom Puckett during the Buffalo's evening news program. And I mentioned this earlier, but when Tom Puckett used the expression, heaven is a little more salubrious tonight, he didn't even have to say that Tom Joles had died. And immediately, much like yourself, part of me was chewed up and spit out. But then, to be honest, I thought, you know what? That man lived a great life for 89 years. He was so beloved. He was such a great guy and an amazing broadcaster who was financially very well taken care of. You know what? You've got to celebrate the life instead of mourning the death. And Marty, because you know so much more than I do about Buffalo broadcast history, Josh and Dan behind the glass, they can take down your phone number and we can give you a buzz after the news and continue this a little bit more because you're one of the experts. I think of Buffalo broadcast history, you are right up there. Steve Cishan, right up there. And John Zach, right up there. And there might be others of whom I am unaware, but they're probably not listening because I don't qualify as Buffalo broadcast history. So hold on, Marty, if you would, and we'll take care of you and get to you on the other side of news. Fair enough? It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you, my loves, on the radio every day, 2 until 6, after David Bellavia. And this is it's a bittersweet show, quite frankly. We are commemorating Tom Joles, but we're actually commemorating you because Tom Joles was a part of your life, Marty's life, my life. And I don't think there is a single person listening to my voice who ever saw or heard Tom Joles who did not feel his avuncular personality. That's just a big word. It means remind you of an uncle, basically. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. More of your Tom Joles memories coming up and Channel 7 Eyewitness News memories and what made those guys and ladies so great. And when you compare the broadcast product of today with the broadcast product of years ago, I think we've dropped our game a notch or five in Buffalo. Started in this business, Buffalo is about the 35th biggest market in the country. Now we are a small market. And basically the wages and salaries for most people are commensurate with that smaller market status. And, you know, people like Irv, Rick, and Tom, and here at WBEN, Sandy Beach, Tom Puckett, Tim Wenger, we are the exceptions to the rules of broadcasting. I don't think Tim Wenger has ever been fired from a job in broadcasting. I haven't been. I'm pretty sure Tim hasn't been either. You've got people here who have been here such a long time. And I must tell you, it's very, very rewarding to feel like part of your life. Even on the days where we don't agree, even when, who is it, Frank and Amherst calls in and we get into a debate on Ronald Reagan. You know, it's all good. It's all cool. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. And we are talking about the death of Tom Joles. Very, very sad day in Buffalo broadcasting history, although he'd been retired for a number of years. The fireboat Cotter serves our community and has been doing so for over a century, but it needs your help. Please join WBEN in supporting Cotterfest June 25th from 1 until 5 at Riverworks. That'll be on a Sunday. You can enjoy a Buffalo buffet, beer, wine, great music from South City Band. Get your tickets today by clicking Cotterfest at WBEN.com. And there's still time to grab your tickets to see Dave Matthews Band, Darien Lake Amphitheater on June 14th. Tickets are on sale at LiveNation.com. We are talking about the life, the times, the career of Tom Joles. And if you don't know of whom we are speaking, for many, many years, the weatherman at Channel 7's Eyewitness News, the weather outside, the weather stick, which was very, very funny in its day. And Martin Biniash is he's been a broadcaster, and he's also a very well-versed Buffalo broadcast historian, told us about the first time he'd been exposed to Commander Tom and Tom Joles at his grandparents' house on the east side. And, you know, Channel 7, Marty, was such a juggernaut, and the names, unforgettable names, Irv Weinstein, Nolan Johannes, and of course Tom Joles.
Well, you have to remember that Channel 7 became as creative as it was in bringing talent and trying all this new stuff because they were dead third in the ratings. Channel 4 had a jump start; they went on the air in 1948. Channel 2 came along in the early 1950s, and there was Channel 7 that went on the air in 1958. And they didn't have a really strong network associated with them. ABC at the time had absolutely nothing to offer from a rating standpoint. So they went out and put together the most creative staff. They threw every idea at the screen possible. And that's where all this creative stuff came out of, the children's shows, the street reporting, the aggressive use of film, where other stations were not using as much, but they were rushing film at 11, the Channel 7 newsreel, where they would have these 10 to 15 second clips of multiple stories in a rapid fire succession.
They
were trying to grow their ratings, and it really took a huge. It took a huge jump when Capital Cities bought Channel 7, and I believe it was 1961. And it was, you know, we're going to make this thing a winner. We're going to bring new talent in. And that's what really started Channel 7's rise to its, you know, up there on the Mount Rushmore of Buffalo broadcasting.
What else made Channel 7, and again, we have to keep, we're talking about Channel 7 as the context for the superstardom of Tom Joles. What else did they do? Did they innovate the weather outside, or did they take that from another market?
You know what? There was some. There was other markets that did it, but there was a guy that they brought in the early 1960s, named Red Cook, and Red Cook was brought in as their marketing and promotions and advertising director, and then he became program director. And they were looking for that element to set their newscasts apart. So around the fall of 1964, they started the weather outside. It was an evening late, 11 o'clock. And if you can believe it, Tom Joles wasn't the originator, wasn't the first guy for the weather outside. It was an announcer named Don Lawson who started the weather outside on Channel 7. That was the fall of 1964. Tom Joles made the jump from WBEN to Channel 7 in early 1965, and then took over that role as the weather outside sort of midway through 1965. And by the end of that year, that's when the Superman show with Commander Tom debuted, December of 1965.
December of 65. And to think my mom probably propped us down in front of the television set to watch that.
Well, like a lot. I mean, listen, you think about moms back then, homemakers and moms and these kids coming from after school, and everybody needed a snack. And, you know, what a better way than to watch Commander Tom for that half an hour or an hour right after school before you went out into the neighborhood. You know, like a lot of kids that grew up in that generation, we didn't watch TV all day. We didn't have 24-hour cable channels filled with kids' programming. There was no Nickelodeon or Disney Channel. We didn't have computer games. So, you know, we went out there and we played ball, or we played tag, or we jumped from garage roof to garage roof and, you know, terrorized the neighbors. That's what we did, and we had fun. So, you know, you had that everybody came together. And I think that's one of the things that is different then than now, is that everybody watched Channel 7 and then we went to school. Everybody came back from school and we watched Commander Tom, and we saw the shows. We talked about it. We anticipated what was going to happen next. Who was the guest going to be? Are they going to have a crazy character on? And you talked about it. And on the playground, that's what you talked about.
Martin Biniash is with us, a devotee of Buffalo broadcast history on News Radio 930, WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN for your Tom Joles stories and memories. Do you have any idea how they decided what shows they were going to play during Commander Tom? Because, again, I don't know if this is a trick of memory or whatever, but I remember sometimes it would be the old Adam West Batman. Sometimes it would be The Adventures of Superman and a whole bunch of other things. How did they decide what they were going to run on any given day?
Very simple. They did not have a huge budget for syndicated programming. So when you were watching those shows in the 60s and 70s, you were watching programming that might have been 25 to 30 years old. Some of those Superman films ran at the corner movie theater for Saturday matinees. There was Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, and then they would bring in Looney Tunes and Woody Woodpecker cartoons that were decades old. I mean, this was old stuff that we were watching. So, you know, they had the Little Rascals they would bring in. And the Little Rascals date from the mid to late 1930s. How about Davy and Goliath that was put together by Lutheran Ministries that had this religious moral tone to it? Those segments were played on Commander Tom and Rocket Ship 7 over the years. There was no budget.
Really? I mean, it's hard to believe there was no budget, because I don't exactly know what Channel 7's revenue was at that time, or for now, for that matter, but they seem to have done so much with so little, and in my opinion, that is a function of a station with great personalities.
Exactly. What amazes me with weathermen is that they can get up there for 2 to 5 minutes, many of them without a script, and they're already focused, they're already geared towards just ad-libbing and not having any pauses in their delivery and getting the message across. Dave Thomas was a weatherman on Channel 7. Tom Joles was a weatherman at Channel 7. These guys had that skill to capture the audience, not use a script, ad lib, and fill time.
Martin Biniash is with us, a local broadcast historian on News Radio 930 WBEN. Do you recall how Tom Joles got his beginning in the broadcast business?
So we just discovered a photo from my friend Steve Mitchell, who's another broadcasting legend. But he got his start at WUSJ in Lockport. And they had a student segment where they brought high school students in, and it was Meet Your School. And he would sort of report on what was happening at Lockport High School. We just put a photo up on the Commander Tom Facebook page, which I've been entrusted to for the last 10 years, working with Tom and his family, and been the curator of that. We've put that up. So if you go to Commander Tom Joles on Facebook, you'll see that photo. But it's from 1948, and he was in high school, and that was his very first exposure to radio and to broadcasting.
Then walk us through the Tom Joles progression as Tom Joles made his march to media superstardom.
Yeah, well, you know what? There was a short-lived television station. He did acting. He got bit by the broadcasting bug. And then there was a short-lived TV station called WBES, and this was a UHF station. Now, remember, most TVs in the early 1950s only had VHF. You had to get the fancy TVs with the two knobs to get the UHF. But WBES-TV, and I believe it was Channel 56, they utilized a space on top of the Lafayette Hotel, and he got a job there. But his talents, just his warmth, his personality – really shone through and impressed the big station, WBEN, at that time, where he was on radio. He was on WBEN television. He did general announcing. He did fill-in work. He did weekend work. He did any shift possible as he honed his broadcasting skills. And he was at WBEN until he moved to Channel 7 in 1965. And it really, this is the funny twist, is that there was a great, I don't know if you remember him, Stan Barron.
Oh, of course.
Sports. And what a
of course.
Programming move. Now sports stations have to fill every single hour with sports talk. Stan Barron would get on, would talk sports, would bring a guest in, would talk about the Daily Double at Buffalo Raceway or at Batavia Downs. And if there was nothing to talk about, he'd start playing music. And he'd play one or two songs, or then he'll go back and he'd read some scores, some late scores that would come in. But Channel 7 had Stan Barron, WBEN had Tom Joles, and they basically swapped those two, and they both went on to long careers at those various stations. So that was that swap. That's when he made that jump over to WBEN, to Channel 7.
Okay. I want to get back to this trio, the triumvirate of greatness that was Irv, Rick, and Tom, but I've got a break for traffic here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, Martin, don't go anywhere. Marty Biniash is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, picking up a lot of Tom Joles factoids here. And I hope that Tom Langmire calls in, because Tom Langmire, a broadcast legend, not in the quite the same league as Tim Wenger is, but you know, Tom's up there. He grew up, I think, across the street or down the street from Tom Joles at one point in his early wayward youth. Right now, let's go to traffic on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alan Harris back in the driver's seat.
Not really. It's Tim Wenger.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody gives me the
memo. His own mind.
Nobody gives me the memos on these things.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Tom, I grew up not too far from Tom Joles and ended up interning in that newsroom with Irv, Rick, and Tom. And I'm telling you, talk about being scared as an intern with those three guys. And they couldn't have been more welcoming. I tweeted that out last night that of the three, Tom Joles probably the most warm and welcoming person and helpful to, you know, even lowly interns like myself at the time. And so I have only fond memories of him. Just a
well,
terrific
when we're
guy.
Done, when we're done talking with Mr. Biniash, I'd like to hear more of Tim Wenger's close encounters after we take some calls from listeners. So going to put you on as a guest. At least that way I know you're not going to complain about the quality or content of the show.
Don't call him Martin either. Only his mother called him Martin. It's Marty.
We're going to be taking your telephone calls absolutely about Tom Joles. And when you've been in one market for so long and you're so well known, many of you had close encounters with Tom Joles. Marty Binyash is with us, local broadcast historian. I want to talk about the chemistry and how the Irv, Rick, and Tom story actually began.
If you were to bring a casting agent in and come up with the perfect anchor team, you would have never chosen these three individuals by themselves because they were totally opposite in their delivery and presentation and their backgrounds. You had Rick Azar, you know, who was this, you know, a movie star, good-looking sportscaster who loved jazz, you know, was the nightclub scene of Buffalo. And then you had Irv Weinstein with his rapid-fire staccato news reporting that he honed on radio. And again, you know, he was the star of rock and roll radio because there was a time on Top 40 radio where you had to have a local news department. And how do you keep teenagers who are listening to rock and roll engaged in news? Well, you wrote it with a snap. You used alliteration. You used colorful language. And then he was brought across the parking lot because radio was in a small carriage house building in the back of the 1430 Main Street property. The television station utilized the former Churchill Tabernacle because Channel 7 was founded by a member of the religious community, Dr. Churchill. And Irv came across the parking lot, joined Channel 7. And then you had Tom, this folksy, warm, loving father figure. And even in his, you know, 20s and 30s, when he was on the air early in Channel 7, just had this warmth to him. And these guys weren't, they were friendly. They knew about each other's families. It's not like they went on family vacations with each other. But when they came together on set, they were this brotherhood, this unbreakable brotherhood with, you know, little fun jabs back and forth. And everybody played their role perfectly. And that's what really took down, you know, the Channel 4s of the world when it came to ratings. You know, finally, it's guys that represented Buffalo. They came from various backgrounds. They were ethnic. I mean, you talk about a lot of people in broadcasting changing their names. Irv Weinstein is not a name that you would put on a resume to get a television or radio job. It would be tough nowadays to do that, let alone in the early 1950s and in 1960s.
You know, that's an excellent point because we were in very anti-Semitic, at least latently anti-Semitic times. And one of the guys, Louis Wolfsheim, I'm forgetting his last name right now when I most need it, but he kept his very Jewish-sounding surname, and he had a real problem with his fellow entertainers who felt the need to anglicize Jewish-sounding names. He was a very proud Jew back in 1929, and Marty, I do hate to impose on you, but I think a lot of people are fascinated by what you are saying. Can we have you stick around a little bit after four?
That'd be fine. Give me a ring.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give you a ring, at least not without a dinner first and maybe getting to know you a little bit better. Marty Binyash is with us on News Radio 930 WBE. And I'm also going to be taking your telephone calls. Tell you what, guys behind the glass, if you want to take the number down for Scott, we can call him back so he doesn't have to burn a hole in his ears, if that is okay. But Marty just has a background in this and a passion for broadcast history that is just second to none. And I hope you are enjoying this as much as I, because there's so much more to the Tom Joles story than Tom Joles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.